Willow Valley Communities recognizes the need for a national conversation about the Vietnam War and is proud to support the efforts to preserve the memories of those who lived through it. More information is available at willowvalleycommunities.org. The law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein and Lehr, who are proud to partner with WITF in preserving our history to enable future generations to explore the past, understand the present, and create the future. Saul Ewing is online at saul.com.
Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's epic documentary, The Vietnam War, resulted in many across the nation discussing aspects of the conflict that may have been difficult to talk about. With that in mind, the U.S. Army Heritage and Education Center in Carlisle is hosting a discussion with veterans tonight entitled Recovering Sacred Ground for All Generations. It talks about the experience and many of the veterans had in Vietnam and help facilitate continued dialogue concerning the impact of the war on their lives. Joining us to talk about tonight's discussion about the film and, just what veterans from Vietnam went through and are still going through, Colonel William Barco is retired. He's the executive director of operations for the U.S. Army War College Foundation and is coordinating the event. Colonel Barco, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Scott.
Also, Doug Johnson is a historian, Vietnam veteran himself, and retired faculty member at the U.S. Army War College. Dr. Johnson, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, we're going to pass the phone between each other. So, Scott, so let's just move on with this, and we'll work it.
Okay, that's a little bit different, but we'll go with it.
Okay.
So, Colonel Barco, talk about what kind of prompted the event tonight. We know that the Vietnam War, the film, was part of what motivated this, but talk about what you wanted to do.
Okay. First of all, as you recall, Scott, last year in mid-September, we did an evening reviewing the movie Thank You for Your Service, which was a documentary film that looked at the issues associated with war trauma of vets in the Afghan-Iraqi conflicts. And we brought in a panel. We had probably 150 people attending. Lots of questions and lots of concerns over issues associated with trauma and war. And then about late spring of this year, I think everybody began to realize sometime in the fall there would be the Burns Novak series would be able to be viewed on PBS. And I decided, you know what? We need to bring together a panel to reflect on that series, because my sense is, and many were in agreement, that there'll be some that like it and some that will be very critical of it. However, the key was we wanted, especially veterans, family members, spouses who were part of that generation, to be able to at least come together and talk about it.
Well, I'm sure that, Colonel Barco, that you watched the series. And by the way, all 10 parts finished up last week, but we are showing it again here on WITF starting tonight at 9 o'clock on WITF-TV. It will air every Tuesday night for the next 9 weeks after tonight. So if you missed it or missed any parts of it, you'll have the opportunity to see it again. Your thoughts on what you saw in the Vietnam War by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, and what parts of it that you saw do you think will, generate conversation?
Okay, so I'm going to pass this, unless we change, to Doug, and he is going to give some comments on his reflections on what he saw in the series. And I'll follow up with that, but I want Doug to get a chance, since
okay,
he's a historian and has a few thoughts on what he saw stood out in the issues that it raised for us. Mm-hmm. Here he is. Hold on.
So Dr. Johnson, you know, I'll just ask the same question of you. What parts of the film do you think will be significant to the Vietnam vets who watched it? And maybe not even the Vietnam vets, but those who lived through that time. And also, maybe start with your impressions of the film.
On balance, I thought it was a pretty good show. When you're trying to cram 15 years of war into 10 episodes, an awful lot was left out. And quite frankly, from the feedback I'm getting from my West Point classmates, company mates, and others, it's the stuff that was left out which has raised probably as many issues as anything else in there. A few misstatements of fact, a few statements that weren't followed up in balance as far as the observers were concerned.
But let me interrupt for just one moment.
Yeah.
Like, what was left out? I mean, obviously, when you're putting together, this is an 18-hour series for television. That's almost unprecedented. But what was left out that many would have liked to have seen?
The portrayal of combat by the Americans was not particularly well done. The Iodrang was pretty good. After that, the 173rd and all the stuff in the Ashau and the Con Kien stuff by the Marines, an awful lot of guys look at that and say, that's some of the most unprofessional crap I've ever seen in my life. But what set a lot of them off was, okay, My Lai was bad. 531 people, innocent people killed, that's bad. And there's sort of a mention of the slaughter of the civilians at Wei, and there was mention of the VC assassinations as though there was moral equivalency, and the guys are really, really angry about that. There, for the most part, the American Army conducted itself in a relatively professional way compared to what the communists did. And that has set some people really on edge. Your point that, yeah, it's only 18 hours. I throw that out to them and say, guys, we can't get everything. Good stuff. The square-faced North Vietnamese guy, I forget his name, and the blonde-haired NVA soldier. Both of those guys come across as real people with whom you could have a conversation today. A guy who, at the playing of a certain song, bursts into tears. You expect that from an NVA soldier? No. But it was well done, pointing out the relative humanity. The inhumanity of communism at the personal level never got mentioned except the theory, or the fraud, rather, of re-education. Yeah, it was mentioned that re-education in some cases ran 17 years. Okay, how pervasive is that? Not well done.
Well, you know, but overall, you said you thought it was well done.
Yep.
You know, obviously, My Lai was a big, a significant event in the course of the war, and we're looking at it not necessarily from an American point of view, but you have American filmmakers making it, so most of the focus is going to be on American combat soldiers. Now, I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying, I'm just pointing that out, that, you know, these are some things. I understand that we've actually gotten a few phone calls here, our program director, that there were veterans who didn't like the fact that the North Vietnamese were part of it at all, that there were VC, Viet Cong, or former North Vietnamese soldiers who were interviewed and spoke about it, about the war, that they didn't want anything to do with it. They don't want to hear from their enemies, their former enemies.
Well, you can't be honest in a presentation like this and eliminate those guys. They were there. We fought them. Why don't they have a voice? You cannot move off ground zero if you simply ignore those people. I mean, my God, we've got World War II people getting together in interesting ways even today, saying, you know, okay, that war is over, and it's a very complex issue, I understand. And you can't get it all. The more interesting thing, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out tonight. Early in the series, I think it was about the third episode or so, there was a clear differentiation between those who were objecting to the war on essentially moral grounds. They were anti-war, no matter what its coloration. And then the identification or the change when all of a sudden the draft expanded and reached a larger group of people who suddenly found themselves opposed to a war because it might affect them. And, of course, the high point of that is Woodstock, where, hey, unlimited intoxication and sex were a sure antidote to any anti-war stuff.
So as far as the conversation goes for tonight, I'm sure some of the things you've just mentioned will come up, but how do you approach a conversation? And or do you, I mean, I know the Q&A is going to be a big part of this tonight, but how do you approach the conversation?
Well, it's going to be hard, and we're going to try to control it. But the question is, okay, do you have a good reason for your feeling toward this thing? What is it that you experienced that leaves you with this attitude? Hang on just a minute, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to take over. I heard this, Scott. I want to take over. And one of the things that we Clinton Romisha back in authored a book. He's a Medal of Honor winner in Afghanistan. And his quote was this. He felt it was important to tell your story. He told it through a book, but he said, tap into the well of your memories and break your silence by finding a way to share your stories with those around you. And here's what becomes critical, because the rest of us need to hear what you have to say, and what's more, you may need to hear it also.
You know, and just a couple anecdotes here, Colonel Barco. I have heard, you tell me whether, I mean, you're much more tuned in with this than what I am. But I have heard that so much discussion of Vietnam because of the series is prompting more Vietnam vets to come out and talk about their experiences. That, you know, one thing that the film does point out very, very much so is that when so many veterans got home from Vietnam, that they were hesitant to talk about it. They didn't know who they could talk to about it because of the way the public looked at it and how they were being perceived and all that. So let me ask you this question, just not my observation, but yours. Are more Vietnam vets willing to come out and talk? Maybe they haven't talked about it for 30 or 40 years because of all the discussion going around this series.
Yes, and this is, Scott, you've raised a most critical point, and I know Doug and I have talked about this and all the members of the panel. Number one, and here's what's really an important point. Vincent Okamoto, in closing in the last segment, talked about the Vietnam War and the fact that when we came home alone, okay, alone with all of our experience, both mental, physical, spiritual. We came home alone. Part of that is that the system, once the war developed and evolved, centered around an individual replacement fill system. So it was soldier for soldier, commander for commander, platoon leader for platoon leader, sergeant for sergeant. And so you didn't then come as a unit back home. You came back as an individual alone. That's one of the issues. And because of that, we didn't have, in all the environment that they walked into, and you heard it in the series, and I had friends who had similar experiences, you really didn't want to tell your story. Why tell it? You know, it's risky, and I'm not, you know, it's just not safe ground to do that. Maybe the time now is it is safe ground. In more events like this, we hope in other towns. Now, people talk about it. And I can tell you that Tony Nadal, who's going to be Skyped in as a speaker at this, who lives in Williamsburg, was a company commander in Green Valley, with Colonel Moore at the time, said the most critical thing that came out of his two tours in Vietnam was that his soldiers and he got together and have been for many years, and that he feels it has saved lives, marriages, relationships because of that.
Mm. Another observation, Colonel. As you know, we, WITF, had several preview events of the Vietnam War by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, and we had panel discussions afterwards. On one occasion, we had a former Vietnam veteran, who rose to speak to one of the protesters, and he said, first of all, he started off by almost apologizing for speaking out, but he said he had to. He said to the protester that, while my buddies were being killed and I was being shot at, you were here at home protesting what I did, call me baby killer and all those kind of derogatory terms. What it made me realize that 45 years after the war ended, or at least American involvement since 1973, that the emotions are still raw.
Yes. And with that, the emotion's still raw. I'm going to give it back to Doug and let him describe it because of his tour. I know we only have a couple more
minutes.
Right,
we only have about a minute left, Doug.
Okay, so we'll let Doug talk.
All right, okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, Doug, Dr. Johnson, we only have about a minute left. Emotions are still raw, aren't they?
In some places, yes. There's been so much publicity, talk, so many offers, so much outreach that I think some of the rawness is being dulled, and time dulls some of it. But
are you there?
Yeah.
You say but what?
Bill just put this thing in front of me. He said, sharing our experiences. This is one of the things we're going to try to do tonight.
Okay.
Share experiences. Once you do that, then things begin to come apart.
Well, the event tonight, Recovering Sacred Ground for All Generations at the U.S. Army Heritage and Education Center at Carlisle, starts at 7 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
7 o'clock. And you still have openings that if anyone wants to attend?
Come in the door.
Okay.
There's room, and if there's not, we'll make some.
Colonel William Barco, retired Executive Director of Operations for the Army War College Foundation, Dr. Doug Johnson, historian, Vietnam vet, and a retired faculty member at the U.S. Army War College. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about manufacturing in Pennsylvania and recovering from addiction. Also, wanted to mention that our next Smart Talk road trip is next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, October 11th, at Booby's Brewery in Mount Joy. Going to be talking about a number of things. Brewing in Pennsylvania, craft beer, big thing right now. The paranormal. Booby's is one of those places that supposedly is haunted. So if you would like to attend, go to WITF's website, WITF.org/RSVP, or special events and RSVP. We'd like to see you there.
Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Capital Blue Cross, live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle, committed to reducing hospital-acquired infections and readmission rates. More information on UPMC Pinnacle's achievements in patient safety can be found at upmcpinnacle.com/quality.
Willow Valley Communities recognizes the need for a national conversation about the Vietnam War and is proud to support the efforts to preserve the memories of those who lived through it. More information is available at willowvalleycommunities.org. The law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein, and Lehr, who are proud to partner with WITF in preserving our history to enable future generations to explore the past, understand the present, and create the future. Saul Ewing is online at saul.com.